everyone. I was thinking this morning that I can look at everybody in the eye and tell you with a completely clear conscience that I have warm, positive thoughts towards everybody in this room. I appreciate all of you. It's good to see all of you here today. And my interest today is to serve the Lord. My interest is to make heaven. You know, there's a lot of things that we could say and that we could do when we come together in the service, but in the very end, in the final analysis, we want to meet the Lord in peace, don't we?
Yes, amen.
I often refer to those verses in the Scripture that says, "What will a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" It seems like there are so many people that are exchanging their soul for, I'm going to put it this way, a bowl of beans. Wasn't it Jacob and Esau? Remember when he exchanged his birthright for a bowl of beans? And he gave up so much for something that seemed so little. And I think about so many times, if we're not so careful, the enemy would like to come in and steal away the salvation that God has paid for us. I want to meet Him in peace. I want to give Him my all. There's nothing in this world that I want to exchange my soul for. And this morning I've especially challenged that we would be willing to exercise spiritual stretching in our lives. I'd like to read a passage in the 5th chapter of Galatians. And if you could say a little prayer for me, I'll try to get through this without coughing and so that you can understand me. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I'm challenged this morning to be found of the Lord living and walking in the Spirit.
Yes,
living and walking in the Spirit, they are not, make sure I say this right, they are not mutually exclusive. You can't do one without the other. If you're going to live in the Spirit, you're going to be walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be living in the Spirit. When we live in the Spirit and God is living in our lives, do you know what the result is? It's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be manifest in our lives. And I'm challenged today because I want the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in my life.
Yes.
I don't want my experience to be based on knowledge that I have and just to trust that the Lord is somehow going to forgive ongoing sins and unrighteousness in my life, although I depend on Him so much for that. But I want to show Him my love by the way that I live my life. I want to live my life and I want to make the changes that need to take place in my life so that when the Lord looks down upon me, He can see somebody that loves Him and that's endeavoring to serve Him, and that the fruit of my life would be manifest so that others would be able to see it and see Christ in my life. Jesus said in one place, the 7th chapter of Matthew, He said, "And ye shall know them by their fruits." And a few verses down He said, "And by their fruits ye shall know them." The Lord wants us to find an experience that is real, that changes our life, that allows us to live in a way that we otherwise would not have lived before. And I'm challenged to stretch. I'm challenged. I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me personally and digging around in my life and showing me areas, land that He has for me to possess, that I have a responsibility to possess. Did you know that when the children of Israel made it into the land of Canaan, it would not have done for them to say, "Well, Lord, I believe this is as far as we want to go. Those giants that are over there in the land of Jericho, they look too big for us, and we're happy to be where we are, and we appreciate you bringing us across the river, and we're just going to dwell here." I believe that if that was the end result, I don't believe that the Lord's blessings would have been upon them. But our way of salvation, it's a walk of growing in grace. And the Lord wants us to gain more land. He wants us to conquer. He wants us to experience greater victories in our life. He wants me to be at a different place next year than I am this year.
Yes.
Do you find yourself at a different place now than you were a year ago? Did you know that the Lord wants us to have a sense of urgency around that? I've mentioned before that...
Can I inject something here?
All right.
The prayer of Jabez. He was found in 1 Chronicles, where you read all the lineages of family trees. Of course, that's boring reading. But you get to the 4th chapter, and they mention Jabez, and said he was more honorable than his brethren, because he prayed. And this was his prayer: "O Lord, that thou will bless me indeed, that thou will enlarge my territory, and that thy hand will be with me, and I will keep me from evil, that I might not grieve myself nor cause pain."
All right. Well, that's a prayer the Lord would have us all have, isn't it?
As you were talking with you, how you want to enlarge yourself and grow, keep growing. He wants us to keep enlarging our territory.
I believe that's a requirement that the Lord has for us. The Scripture said in the 17th verse, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And what that means is that you can't always have your own way, because my way, the way of man, is not in himself that walketh. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And my ways are not going to be the Lord's ways. And the Lord wants me to find a place of salvation, but then He wants me to find a place of growth where I begin to walk in His Spirit and begin to follow His way. And when I follow His way, what we're going to find is that we're going to begin to walk away from our way. Do you know that that is difficult to do? When was the last time you walked away from one of your ways? Truly walked away from it. Did you know that we spend so much time, and I'm speaking generally, but we can spend so much time trying to live our Christian life and trying to justify the way that we live as being somehow consistent with what the Lord wants, and we have all of the reasons that we may use to justify it, but when we live for the Lord and we walk in the Spirit, it's going to require stretching on our part. It involves getting outside of our comfort zone. Brother Tony, and I've mentioned this before, Brother Tony Salmon said many years ago, he said that most of us, the majority of people, are going to meet the Lord just like they are today. Are you okay with that? You know what I discovered the other day? I wasn't okay with that. It's true, though. Most people are going to face the Lord just like they are today. You know why? Because most people continue to follow their own way. Many people, it seems like, find a place of what I'm going to call equilibrium. A place that they're comfortable with what they want to do and what they believe the Lord wants them to do. And they find this place in there that they're somewhat satisfied with, and they stay and they remain in that place year after year after year after year. Did you know that most people, if you look back and you say, you know, I know, now I'm going to use the word brother or sister, you know, brother or sister so-and-so,
they have a sharp tongue, and you have to kind of be careful. You know, if you're not careful enough, you'll be on the receiving end of their sharp tongue. And you know, the disappointing thing is, most of the time, 20 years later, the same testimony can be said of that person. Why? Because most people don't change. And yet the Lord is asking us. He's coming to us and He's saying, the spirit and the flesh, they're contrary one to another. They can't coexist. If you're going to walk after one, you're going to have to walk away from another one. I want to be willing to do that. I want to be willing to do those things that are uncomfortable. I lift weights. And you know that if I only lift weights to the point that I never really feel any pain, and I go home and I just do what's comfortable for me, I'll always continue to lift the same amount of weight. And if I'm stretching and I'm trying to become more limber, if I stop stretching as soon as I feel a little pain and back off, well, tomorrow and the next day and the next day, I'll probably only be able to stretch about as far as I did a week ago because I wasn't willing to stretch past the point of pain. And I'm encouraged and I'm challenged this morning. I'm challenged this morning to live my life where I'm willing to suffer a little pain. Or I'm willing to walk away from what Rod wants. And that I'm willing to walk after the Spirit. And I'm willing to open my mind and my heart and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it? What is it in my life that's not like you? What do you want me to move up on? Lord, what are those things that I've been holding on to so hard, and those things that I don't even want to consider because I don't want to let go of them, and I just want it to be that way. Lord, what are those things? What do you want from me? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I'm challenged with that this morning, and I want to live that way because I believe today that if I don't live that way, I will fall into a place of deception. And I will feel like that all is okay because I continue to go to church and I continue to give to the Lord and I continue to have a testimony for the Lord and maybe I continue to preach the Word and maybe I continue to try to fill a place that I feel that I can do for the Lord, and yet I become spiritually stagnant and I experience lethargy in my life. I don't want that. I believe it's going to take more than that to make it in. The Lord is looking for a people who will walk after the Spirit. And the Spirit is not going to stop and hang out where Rod hangs out for very long. He'll come my way and he'll meet me and he'll say, Rod, listen, this is the way. This is where I want you to go. And I have to be willing to arise from where I am. I have to be willing to pick up. I have to be willing to leave some of my baggage behind. And I have to be willing to follow the Lord. And I'm confident this morning that if I do that, that's where the blessings are. That's where the peace is. That's where the fear begins to go away, because we're living where the Lord wants us to live and His blessings begin to come down upon us. I was reading this verse here, and we'll move through it here fairly quickly. But some of these verses in 19 through 21... it said that if some of these things are present, the Scripture says that we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I trust this morning that these things don't apply to us, but sometimes I fear that the enemy would have us to move too quickly through some of these things, because there are places in the Bible that people would like to debate, and people would say, well, give me scripture and verse and show me exactly where this is wrong. There are some things that the Scriptures give us here this morning. And Paul specifically said that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he went through here and he mentioned some of them. He said the works of the flesh, and that's what he was talking about. People who walk after the flesh. Because when he gets to the end, and we'll get down to it, but he said, and such like. He listed a whole bunch of things, and he said, and such like. And what he's talking about the works of the flesh. And he's talking about those that walk after the works of the flesh won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That gives me pause.
Yes.
Because from time to time I find places in my life where I realize I'm walking after the flesh. This isn't after the Spirit. This is after Rod. And I'm thankful that the Lord gives us time and He gives us some opportunity to make those places right. That's why He came. Because we were in sin. And He came to deliver us from the places of bondage that we're in. And the places of the strongest bondage that we can find ourselves in is bondage to ourselves. Those places that are me, that I just can't hardly let go of. And He listed all these things, and they're the works of the flesh. And He gets to the end, He can't name them all. And He said, and such like. All of those things that tend to the flesh that I'm drawn to. But maybe it's not where I would find the Spirit. The decisions that we make on where we go and what we do and what we think about and what we allow our senses to participate in. What would happen if we asked the Lord, say, well, Lord, I want to walk after Your Spirit and this is where I'm getting ready to go. Lord, will You lead me there? Can I follow You there? Can I find Your presence there when I get there? Are You part of this? And if I can't find that assurance, if that's not where the Spirit leads, I have to be willing to say, well, then I'm not going there. And you know, it gets close. It gets real close. And I believe it's why the Scriptures tell us that there's just going to be a few that make it. Many, many go in at the big gate. But the wide gate, that's where most people go. Most profess it at. One reason it has to be so wide is because it has to accommodate all the professing Christians. I believe that. But the way to the Lord, the highway, it's a narrow way. It's a straight gate. And it said, few there be that find it. You know why? Because as we start to follow the Spirit, all of a sudden, we want to walk after something that's of the flesh. And we got the Spirit here, but we want to get pulled over here. And the Spirit can't go that way. I'm challenged with that in my own life. Yeah, I want to feel a sense of urgency around that. He went on here and he talked about some of the works of the flesh. He said adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We read through these. And sometimes it's easy for us as Christians. We can look at this and we can read through it. And we can pretty quickly say, well, that's a lot of bad things. And I don't. And that doesn't apply to me, so I don't have to worry about that. I've been guilty of it. But I want to say something before we move on too quick to keep it in our minds. Adultery, fornication, and I'm going to pick another one, drunkenness. Adultery, fornication, and drunkenness are becoming rampant in our world today. The Christian world has become desensitized to the wrong of drunkenness, of adultery, and of fornication. The Lord has not changed His thoughts around fornication and adultery and allowing our minds to become in an altered state. The Spirit can't work with our minds when we change our minds into some other state. And we're so quick sometimes, well, yeah, but you know, as long as you think about it the right way and as long as you handle it the right way, I'm not willing to take that risk. The three Hebrew children told the king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not even going there. We're not willing. We are all in for the Lord. And the Scripture tells us that these things right here, that they which do them will not inherit the kingdom of God. That captures my attention. Well, sometimes we can look at those and we say, well, I'm not committing adultery and I don't have relationships with people that I shouldn't have and I don't get drunk and we can move through here pretty quickly. But you know, it goes further than that. It talks about uncleanness and it talks about lasciviousness or lewdness and it talks about idolatry and hatred and variance and emulations. Where we're willing to put ourselves up at the expense of somebody else. And I wonder sometimes, if we don't allow these things where we're maybe practicing them in our life, how willing are we to participate in them by what we're willing to tolerate and what we look at and what we listen to and say, well, I'll just filter that part out. I want to walk after the Spirit. I want to live my life so that it's a close life. I don't want to let things into my life where I say, well, I don't do any of these things, but I'm tolerant of them. I'm willing for them to take a place in my mind. And I say, well, I know what's right and wrong. I'll just move that out. The devil doesn't work that way. He likes to get into our minds and he likes to rent space in our minds, whether or not I'm going out and committing the actual act myself, but I allow it to come in and I put myself in environments and I put myself in places I don't want to be there. But it gets even closer. Strife? Emulations? Putting myself in front at the expense of somebody else? I don't know if it gets close to you, but it does to me. And he gets at the end and he says, and such like. All of the things that are after the flesh don't go after the Spirit. They're contrary one to another. That's what we read. I believe we're going to have to stretch outside of our comfort zone if we're going to see Jesus.
Yes, help us, Lord.
He went on and he began to talk about what the fruit of the Spirit was. Listen to what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love. Do you have love in your heart? Do you have love in your life? Does love define you? Joy. Do you have you live a life with a pattern that demonstrates joy? Peace. Do you live where you feel like you have a lack of peace in your life a lot of times? Are you as long-suffering as you ought to be with those that offend your sense of justice? Oh, a lot of times we tell ourselves, well, I love and I have joy and I have peace and I'm long-suffering and I'm gentle and I'm good and I have faith and I'm meek and I exercise temperance as long as everything is how it ought to be. Right? But it seems like too often we give ourselves a little bit too much latitude when we feel like somebody else or some other situation gets out of line for where it ought to be. And then we're ready to give ourselves a little bit more room to lose our joy. I'm talking to myself, but the Lord's dealing with me along these lines. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. We're not as long-suffering as we ought to be. We're not as gentle as we should be. And we defend it and we justify it because somebody else hasn't done what they should. Or I'm faced with a situation that just is throwing me outside of the tracks. And yet the Scripture says that those that follow after the works of the flesh won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And the opposite of love and the opposite of joy and the opposite of peace and the opposite of long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance is the works of the flesh. I know this is meat this morning. It's not necessarily milk. It's close. But I want to encourage you that the Lord's not ready to cut you off either. The Lord gave His life so that He could come and forgive us for those places and give us grace and help us to grow in grace. And He shows us our need as we're able to see it. You know, sometimes you can see a great need in others. I've learned this. The longer I live, the more I learn. Amazing enough. And I have learned and I've seen that sometimes you can see something in someone's life that seems so clear to you and it seems so wrong to you, and it is wrong. But you know that sometimes that person is not ready to see themselves as they are. But there will come a time where the Lord puts His finger on it and says, okay, it's time. Your eyes are open and this is you. And when that happens, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to look to the Lord with humility and say, Lord, please give me more love. Please give me more joy. Lord, help me to live my life where I'm walking after the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in my life. Because if the Spirit is living within us, these are the things that are going to begin to come out of our lives. And I want to be willing to do what I need to do to get there. I want to be able to get outside of my comfort zone. I want to be able to operate by the help of the Lord in a place that I otherwise would not operate, that is different from me, and I want to be willing to go outside in the actions that I take to address the things that the Lord brings before my mind. I want to be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. There's a song, isn't there, that says, whatever it takes, something like that, for whatever it takes to be like you, Lord, that's what I want to be willing to do. That's an easy song to sing, and it's a very difficult song to put in practice. And I want to challenge you this morning. My message this morning is, be willing to come before the Lord with an honest heart, with an open mind. Be willing to lay all of your life, your affections, your dreams, what you want, the way you are, be willing to lay it on the altar. Be willing to lay on the altar what you do, where you go, how you think, what you think about, what you read, the purpose of your life, your cause in life. Be willing to lay it on the altar and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And be willing to stretch to achieve the spiritual place that God wants for you. Be willing to stretch to overcome those walls of Jericho and those giants that are bigger than you are. Be willing to step out when it's a little bit scary. And I want to leave you with these few examples. Zacchaeus was willing to climb a tree. When was the last time you climbed a tree for the Lord? Did you know that that was a place of humility for Zacchaeus? Somehow I don't think Zacchaeus climbed trees very often. But he wanted to see Jesus. And he recognized that if he was going to see Jesus, he was going to have to do something that went above and beyond what he normally did. And he recognized the only way I'm going to see Jesus is if I climb that tree, understanding that people are going to look at him and say, what are you doing? Why are you up there? Aren't you the rich man? Aren't you the tax collector? And you're debasing yourself to climb up in a tree? But he was willing to do it. Be willing to climb a tree for Jesus. Be willing to go out of the ordinary. Daniel fasted and he prayed for 3 weeks to get the mind of the Lord. Sometimes we wonder, why aren't we seeing any more victories in our life? Why don't we see the Lord working any more than he does? And I go back to the Old Testament and I began to read what people did to get in touch with the Lord. And I think, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Daniel fasted, gave his heart for 3 weeks to know the mind of the Lord. And at the end of those days, the Lord came to him and he said, Daniel, from the very first day that thou set thy heart to know me, I heard your prayer. But he waited 3 weeks. Are you willing to do that? Hezekiah went above and beyond. He took that troubled him and actually laid it out on the bed and said, Lord. The lady that came to Jesus was called a dog by Jesus, and she didn't go away. She exercised a little bit more humility. I want to be willing to do that this morning. I want to be able to stretch. I want to be willing to climb a tree. I want to be willing to take what's troubling me and perhaps physically lay it out as Hezekiah did. I want to be willing to let go of some things as Daniel did. I want to be willing to humble myself down if that's what's required. The scripture tells us that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're not going to end up in heaven just because we accidentally arrived. We're only going to make it if we're violent with the self person, with me. It's only if I get violent with myself. It's only if I say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you regardless. I'm willing to follow you, and I'm willing to walk away from the works of the flesh and from what I want. Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth into it. I want to be willing to press.
Yes.
I want to be willing to live my life so that when I get to the very end, the Lord can say, Rod, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Be encouraged this morning. Be challenged to stretch as much as you need to stretch to gain the land that the Lord has for you. Pray for me. Amen.
Amen.